You're a maniac. Give me a couple of observations. I know you've been listening tonight. First of all, do you have any thoughts on Gillum, his status, and what's going on there?
That's a big loss for Tennessee. And that's not something anybody thought, I think, a few months ago, but you're talking about a redshirt senior walk-on at left tackle that goes down, and it's a big loss. But I don't think they're super optimistic. I couldn't see exactly what happened on that play. I'm down on the field taking pictures for the game. But then, Butch, you can just kind of read the tea leaves there. Didn't seem super optimistic. Didn't know. Looked like he was going to undergo some further testing. So I don't think we'll know anything definitively about Gilliam until, I guess it would be Tuesday when Butch has his press conference. Normally it's on Monday. Everything's pushed back a day this week. So probably Tuesday till we hear a definitive word on him.
Reed, any interesting notes coming out of the locker room, players' stories, anything of interest?
Well, I've agreed with a lot of what you all said. I think it's been a big day for Tennessee, for Tennessee athletics. You can tell that, look, it's going to be some tough sledding when SEC ball comes. You all touched on a lot of those reasons why. But, and I think the players know this, the coaches know this, especially after beating an opponent like Utah State, that there's a lot of optimism around the program because it is clearly, clearly headed in the right direction from a talent perspective. I thought the coaches had a pretty good game, and just, I guess the main takeaway for me, just being down there, talking to a few players, listening to Butch Jones speak, a lot of optimism. They know they've got some work to do. Wasn't a super clean game. Arkansas State's coming in here, and I actually think Arkansas State's a little better than Utah State from a talent and an experience perspective, but Tennessee showed today that they can outclass an opponent, and it's been a while since they've been able to do that.
Reed, you were down on the sideline taking pictures during the game. For those of us who were up in the box, tell me about the game atmosphere, the third down for what, the crowd. What did you think about the way the fans brought it this evening?
Hey, well, I've got to give a big shout-out to Vol fans tonight. Good grief. How many programs coming off three straight 5-7 seasons get 102,000 in for a non-conference opener on a night game, yep, on a Sunday, on a holiday weekend? And, boy, that place was hopping. It really was. Russell, on your show, man, I talked about third down for Watt. Now I thought it would get old, and it did get old, but yeah, it also got the crowd into it. So I think it succeeded. Students were really loving it. We had a wave that happened in that game. I thought the atmosphere was electric and neon, and it had been a while since we'd had that consistently, especially in a game like that. And you know, something else that stuck out to me was the crowd hung around. I mean, here it is, fourth quarter, 38-7. They're still there, most of them. I expected them to be headed for the exit. They're still there. They were soaking in the win, soaking in the young talent.
Well, I mean, the third down for what? Yeah, it's going to get old, and after a while, it probably did. But think about how old it probably got for Chucky Keaton. If he ever hears another Little John song, it'll be like the Clockwork Orange visceral reaction. He's going to start vomiting just immediately. So he can never listen to that song again.
The whole thing, though, Reed, and I'm kind of a traditional guy, and I think you are too. I like what they're trying to do in terms of pump some life into things, but that's what we have 102,000 people for. And let me give you one word about the crowd here. Tonight, I'll give you guys a quick story. Tonight, I was leaving the area where we were over at the tailgate area, the Humanities and Social Science, where that big, huge thing goes, that big, huge thing they have going on. I was there most of the day today. And on the way to the stadium, I asked the ticket broker, in that rain, just as that driving rain had just come through there, I said, hey man, what are tickets? And he looked at me and said, hey, if you want to get in right now, I can get you in for $50. Now you tell me a place where a ticket would hold up like that and be $50 right basically at kickoff after the rain came through with more rain basically. We didn't know. It could have rained the whole time. And there were still more people outside the stadium than there were tickets trying to get into that game tonight. That is one unbelievable testament to the power of that football program here.
So if you paid $50 to go to that game tonight, are you glad that you were there to see the big win, or are you disappointed that you spent $50 to watch that Utah State team play?
No, you're glad as you can be.
You're definitely glad.
Yeah, you're glad that you saw Tennessee football take a big step. And look, this game went about how I thought. I thought Tennessee would win big. I thought Utah State would break a couple long plays and get to about 20 points. But the Vol offense performed about how I thought, but I think if you're a Tennessee fan, you're happy to see that you're able to come out there and just be better than somebody. It's been a while. I mean, even South Alabama last year, Tennessee barely won that game.
Absolutely.
They struggled to execute the offense. Western Kentucky, that game's a lot closer if they don't have an epic meltdown down and turn the ball over 12 straight times or whatever it was. You know, I think it's been just a long time since we've seen Tennessee do this, and I know it was enjoyable for all the Vol fans in attendance.
Back to the busy phones we go. Beano, the great Beano Jeff Henderson, who I just, man, I miss you so much, Beano, but you're taking care of family right now. I love you. I love your heart. You're on here with Reed Carringer, who's with RockyTopInsider.com. He's launching his own radio deal tomorrow morning. Everything is so exciting. It's all brand new, Beano, and we're crazy for you. How you doing, man?
Happy Labor Day, guys.
Hey,
what
buddy.
What depth we have. What depth
What
we
depth.
Have here.
Depth. The depth is on display tonight.
You guys have covered this game like Cam Sutton. I'm not sure what I have to add.
Wow, Cam Sutton. How impressive.
But I know that today, tonight, I don't know if it what it means going forward.
Right.
But I know tonight was fun, and I know it exceeded expectations, and that's a couple of things been in short supply around here.
That's really well put, isn't it? And you know what? To me, Reed, right now, that's enough for me.
Absolutely. And I think it should be. I absolutely think it should be. And I think everybody needs to soak in the night. Soak in the night. You all touched on the issues that need to be worked on. The coaching staff touched on it. But soak in the win. Enjoy it. Enjoy the atmosphere that Neyland had. And the Vols, look, on a national stage tonight, Tennessee just had a massive day.
45% of Tennessee's players tonight, Reed, were making their college debut, mm-hmm. including 21 true freshmen. That is insane.
And they played well. I mean,
and they played
they
well.
Really did. They played really well, and I think that's something that I'm excited that everybody finally got to see, because I've got to see these young guys in camp, and you can tell that the guys that graduated, by and large, the guys that came in this 2014 class are better than the guys that graduate already. And that's the job that Jones has done on the recruiting trail, and I think that's super exciting. And I think that's where fans, look, it's going to be some tough sledding against the Oklahomas, the Floridas, the Georgias of the world. But this team, with all the young talent, still going to be fun to watch. And you wait till next year when this talent grows up and they add some more to the pool. They're going to be really a contender in the SEC East, I think.
Yeah. I mean, that's the fun thing about watching – a team that's not necessarily you're not expecting to contend for a championship is when you're watching your team that you're hoping is going to win a championship every week. You're looking at it, the big picture. Okay, you know, where are we going to be at the end of the season? When you're in rebuilding, you can just kind of take one week at a time.
Or Beano, where we were at one point. And Beano, we've had this conversation. I personally would like to get back here, but Alabama fans yesterday after that game, they were freaking miserable.
They're upset.
Okay? And truthfully, what Alabama did yesterday is they played in a great college football game down in Atlanta against a team with a lot of team speed. Now, they're not going to give them credit, but that West Virginia team looked to me like they're a lot better than people think they are. But fan bases, you know, when you get to Alabama's level, you almost lose the ability, Beano, to enjoy it. And right now, I do not want to miss this climb. I want to enjoy the climb, Beano.
The journey's the great thing, Tony. And you're right. We got there in the 90s. I mean, where one game basically ruined our entire season. And I'm never going back there again.
No. Looking back on that, it's foolish. Alabama played a great college football game yesterday.
That's LSU beat the number 14 team in the country.
And their fans are pissed. I was listening to that last night on WWW. Those people were hot in the middle of the night.
Here's what I believe I saw tonight, guys. And Russell, on your show, you open most all of your shows with a clip from Butch Jones that says, we're going to have what I call Tennessee swagger. I think I saw, for the first time in a long time, Tennessee swagger tonight. I believe I saw it on the field. I believe I saw it on the sidelines. And in a strange twist, I was at home for a game played in Neyland Stadium. But I believe even from home, I saw it in the stands.
Yeah. There's swagger. The band had a little swagger to them tonight.
Band had some swaggle, yep.
That student section performed.
Student section, Bino, they even brought it tonight.
They actually showed
up. Reed.
They showed up. They stayed. They cheered. They were really active. They were dancing around. I was impressed by all aspects, really, of the crowd. And I think, again, I can't praise ball fans enough for what they did tonight. That didn't happen anywhere else in the country. It's unique to Tennessee. It's unique to Knoxville and Tennessee fans.
They took all their tickets this week, Reed.
They did, and that's a holiday weekend. A lot of students like to go back. I think it was the Western Kentucky game last year that you look at that student section, it was just laughable. Laughable. They didn't do that this year, and some of that credit has to go to Butch Jones for reaching out to the students and trying to involve himself with them. You know, he had the student day back in the spring, which I think was just a big hit, and some of that credit goes to the coaching staff for reaching out.
Let me brag on something else here, Bino. And by the way, I want to remind the living listener, you have found it. And I know we did a lot of promotions today, but this is, ladies and gentlemen, your Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction. As we are commercial break free after each football game, we're going to give you 3 solid hours. And so far, we're 2 hours and 10 minutes in, but who's counting? I do want to say we're presented by Smart Way, everything for your home, pay your way, and Dalton Behring, your Prince Hydraulic master distributor in Granger County, Tennessee. I do want to say to both of you gentlemen that our basketball coach, Donnie Tindall, did something really, really smart today. I don't know if that's if that's lost on us. Reed, that camp that they had, you're allowed to do a camp right through the month of August. They scheduled that thing today and took all those kids to that football game with them tonight. And they had a ton of talent over there. And I was talking to Mark Griffin, who was over there at that camp today, and he said that thing was unbelievably impressive, what he saw today. Go ahead.
No, yeah. Sorry. You know what? They told me, someone on the staff told me that they had close to or over 100 prospects there this weekend. Over 100 prospects on campus for that camp, going back to eighth grade, you know, laying some foundation for the future there in basketball. Got here behind the eight ball. A lot of these guys have been recruited for 3 or 4 years by most programs. They've been on these guys for a few months. Picked up a commitment today from a 3-star. And they're using football. They're using football to their advantage. That's something they talked to me about when they got hired, the Tindall and his staff, that they're going to use football and the energy and the optimism around the football program to their advantage and to showcase what Tennessee has to offer when the balls are on the rise. And I think that's brilliant, and I'm glad you brought that up because that gets lost a little bit in all the football game talk. The basketball program is doing all the right things, too, behind the scenes.
Those guys, Abina, we've got two coaches on this campus right now who are progressive, sharp, cutting edge, not afraid to try different things. And let me just say this, for the Conzoites out there, he wouldn't have lifted his freaking finger to do what that head coach did today. Get you some of that.
You know, today,
you're right.
You have to win games, guys, but today the other questions are, do you fit? And do you get it? And I believe we've got coaches in our two major men's sports that you can put a check beside both of those on.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. And again, as far as what this game meant, and we're watching the replay right now, I don't know. Because I don't know what Utah State is. I don't know. They might be that they're a pretty darn good team, and we ran them off the field tonight, and we're this year's Missouri. We might look back and go, hey, this was not a fluke tonight. Or it might be that they're just a team with a rebuilding, you know, offensive line.
This is the Gary Anderson built that program.
Sure.
And how often do you see where when a guy like that leaves, the first year they kind of hang around. But after the first year of the new guy, it starts to kind of taper off. Now, hopefully they go on and play really well and compete for the Mountain West Championship. But sometimes it doesn't work that way.
You know, I don't want to rain on anybody's Tennessee parade because, again, I think the Vols exceeded all expectations today. I mean, it's 4.5-point spread, and they beat them by 31. Trendy upset pick nationally, and they came out, took care of business. A lot of young teams struggle with that. They struggle to come out and take care of business, to win games they're supposed to do it. And Tennessee didn't do that tonight. But I don't think Utah State is as good as everybody nationally was leading them up to be. I wrote that this morning if you want to fact check me. Not saying that after Tennessee demolished them. And they lost pretty much their entire team from last year. It was 9-5, a whole new team. And I just didn't think their offensive line would hold up against Tennessee. I thought their secondary would get exposed. I thought their strengths were their linebackers, but then Fackrell went out. And that team, Chucky Keaton, I mean, Russell, you said pray for him earlier. I mean, you almost felt sorry for the guy. He had no help at all. And that Tennessee defense was just outclassing him. You had defensive linemen running him down because he wasn't 100%. And I don't think Utah State is near as good as a lot of the national pundits believe after digging into him a few times this week. But, again, still a solid win by Tennessee.
And Jeff Brock said it best, Bino. What is that head coach doing leaving that kid in there taking that beating in the fourth quarter? What are you doing?
Absolutely senseless. Senseless. Keaton should sue him.
Really? It's so true.
That's just being absolutely asleep at the switch or not caring, and either one of those are unacceptable.
Or even if your quarterback, if you say to him, hey, you're coming out, Chucky, and he says, no, coach, I need to work. Still, the answer to him is, no, I'm the adult here. You're the kid. I'm pulling you out of the game. Christian, did you see any reason for that guy to be in the game late there?
No, I was talking to some people about that in the fourth quarter. Why was he still in the game? It made no sense. They were getting absolutely blown out. No chance of winning the game. I didn't understand it at all. I don't know if he spoke about that after the game. I didn't, but I didn't understand it at all.
I'll tell you what Matt Wells said. He said he told Patrick Brown down in Chattanooga, we're used to being competing a heck of a lot longer in games. Honestly, I'm in complete shock that wasn't a ball game into the fourth quarter. Yeah, they were in complete shock. It looked like their entire team was in complete shock. In fact, it looked like 15 minutes into that game, guys, like they're ready to get out of here.
Wasn't the backup quarterback, did it? He win like five games last year
after
he got hurt.
Yeah, he did.
Lead them to a bowl game. So it's not like they have some stiff
sitting over there. You know what I think happened there? I'll give you a little skin. This is just a thought I had as we've been talking about it tonight. And I haven't shared it because I don't want to talk about Utah State too much. But I do believe this is probably possible. He doesn't want to throw that quarterback back out there and reintroduce the fact that this guy here really operated well, especially while his kid's trying to recover from an injury.
I could see that.
Which feeds my thought, which is all that talk about him being 100% back, there's no way in the world you can come back from that in 10 months.
He was limping noticeably.
He was limping. Thank you, Reed.
He was limping noticeably on the field. I don't know if the TV broadcast picked that up. I'm so kind of in my own bubble there in Neyland when I'm down there on the field shooting, but I don't know if anybody talked about that. He was noticeably limping there for several portions of the game, and he looked like he didn't really trust that knee that he had the big brace on. Wasn't back to himself speed-wise, and then struggled really throwing on the run, too, because he didn't feel like he could play on that leg, it looked like to me.
So, all in all, Bino, close me out here. Give me a final thought, Bean Star.
Well, Tony, I really don't care what this means for the rest of this season. I don't think this means we're beating Oklahoma or going to Georgia winning or any of those things. That really doesn't matter to me. I think what we saw tonight is there is no doubt this program's going in the right direction, and the talent infusion, it just jumps off the page.
That's enough for me, Bino. Thank you, brother. You're a good man.
Have a good evening, guys.
Hey, Bino, my best to your best. My best to your better half, Bino. I want you to know that. 865-200-5402. Reed, you've been listening for a while. Anything you want to go back to that we've discussed? Anything that you want to tip me off to that you guys have unearthed on your site going forward from this one? Maybe a fresh look. Hit me here.
Yeah, if you want to talk about going forward, I'll start there first. Tennessee plays Arkansas State Saturday game. Feels kind of weird playing on a Sunday. It's going to be a short week for Tennessee. That's a game that before the season I kind of pegged is maybe a little tougher game than Utah State. There's a guy that I love to follow, and Tony, you got to get him on your show sometime. His name's Dave Bartu, CFBMatrix.com. I know, Russell, you've had him on before. He's a great guest. He's changed the way I look at college football, and he does an average talent ranking based on the last 4 years of recruiting services, averaging them all evenly. And it factors in for attrition. And he had Utah State 130th or worse in talent for this year. And Tennessee, they're 14th in the country in talent. I think you saw that disparity tonight. Moving forward, Arkansas State, 88. So at least from a talent perspective, they're going to be a step up this Saturday. They return 8 all-conference players. from the Sun Belt from last year. So they've got more experience, a little more depth returning, and a little more overall talent. So I think that's a opponent. You'll see the ball get tested a little bit more, and I think that's something that if you want to talk about this game, it's a good opportunity for Tennessee to really work on that run game. I mean, 2.8 yards a carry, and that's just not going to get it done in the SEC. And that the short, simple read passing game, you can't blame Tennessee for doing that because it worked. And you got to go out and beat your opponent. You can't play all of them in one Saturday or one Sunday in this case. But that short passing game is not going to work in the SEC unless the Vols can get a running game going. And I think they'll get a chance to work on that some on Saturday against a little better opponent.
What do you make of Jerry Colquitt's criticism of the way Hurd was used? Jason Swain came in tonight and also said that he thought that they need to use him more as a hit the hole, quicker type of player. He's more of an up down kind of guy. Do you buy that they were getting too cute with him tonight in the running game?
Well, I think so. One, I didn't expect him. He had 10 carries in the first half. Marlon Lane had 2. That should be flip flopped. I think they threw him into the fire a little bit too early. Honestly, I thought they needed to ease him into that game a little bit. I expected him to end up with 10, 12 touches. I think he had 13 or 14 or something like that. But he had one more touch than Marlon Lane. And I think you've got to give the ball to Lane. He's a more effective running back tonight, and I think he'll be the more effective running back this year because Hurd, he's indecisive. You all touched on it earlier. He's indecisive back there right now. You saw the talent, how electric he is when he gets in space on that screen pass. But he's just indecisive behind that line. That line is not going to give you any big holes either to make any quick decision. And I think Lane, as a senior, just showed his ability to at least make something out of very little tonight. So I think Hurd can be very successful in this system. They're not going to use a fullback a ton. They're not going to go I formation much. I think they will go two back some. You didn't see that much tonight. They will go two tight end some to kind of help with the run blocking, but I think tonight I put it more on Hurd than I do the coaching staff, and that he looked like a freshman out there playing his first football game, and he didn't know where to go with the football.
Pretty exciting stuff as we visit today with Reed Carringer, who, ladies and gentlemen, at RockyTopInsider.com, you can read their stuff. Tomorrow morning you'll be able to hear him. Reed, you're doing that at what time tomorrow again?
9 a.m. to 11 a.m. tomorrow is our first show recapping this game. Looking back at all the weekend action, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be a blast. Got the whole RTI crew with me, Houston Crest, Daniel Lewis, John Cave Osborne, Bob Baskerville. We'll all touch on the game and how just our own takeaways from it, and I'm excited to be back on the airwaves a little bit.
You're an absolute maniac. Let's go back to our busy phones here. And by the way, I want to remind you, you're listening to the Smart Way Dalton Behring Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction, commercial break free. Dubsy said, how are you going to do that? And I said, Russell, how the hell do I know? How are we doing so far, Russell? We're like 2 hours and 15 minutes in. Are you tired?
So far, so good. No, I'm good. I had a couple of Ed Ogeron Red Bulls on the way over here. I could do this all night.
What was Ogeron doing? Was it Red Bull?
Oh, yeah. He had his own Red Bull machine.
I think he was doing more than that.
You said it. I didn't. Finally, somebody else steps in it. I like you, Carringer. We're going to push each other here.
What's Ogeron doing this year? Is he in football?
No.
What'd you say?
Ogeron. What's he doing this year?
Who's he? Huh?
He's not anywhere. He's not on.
He's not doing, is he?
I think he's angling for a coordinator job.
Blackballed.
Running the Hummer dealership somewhere, probably.
Waiting for Lane to get another head coaching job.
Boy, Lane Kiffin. Did you guys see any of the Bama game yesterday?
They showed him on that corner shot about half the game. Did you notice that?
Yes.
That split screen.
He got more FaceTime than Saban did yesterday.
He was walking in front of Saban on the sidelines.
But as a man who gets a little color in his hair every once in a while, I do, okay? I'm not afraid to admit that. What little hair I have. Saban's dye job for any guy making $8 million, he's got to find himself a better beauty saloon than that.
He's starting to thin out a little bit up top, too.
Dude, no, he's not thinning out. His hair was like orange and blue yesterday.
No, he's thinning out, too. When he's outside and the wind blows,
oh,
he looks
no
like
question.
Bill Murray in Kingpin, where it's kind of the comb-over is like...
Let's go back to our phones.
It's disturbing.
This is too much fun. What's that mean? I don't know. It's an old country song. Let's get Jamie in here, who's next with us. Jamie, hello.
Big Iron, Russ.
Hey, brother.
Big Hurd.
Well played, sir. Don't Munson this call now, Jamie.
Tony, man, you know what? Tennessee fans deserve you, man. You know, you're unique to do this. No other fan base has this. And, you know, we're a unique fan base. And thank you for being on the air, bro. I know it's late, but, you know, you're definitely doing it for the fans. And I just want to say, you know, for somebody who's come across negative a time or two, I appreciate it, brother.
Just a time or two, Jamie. But I do appreciate your thoughts. Thank you.
Hey, guys, I tell you what, though. I went into tonight's game thinking that we'll find out a lot about our coach. And I think we did. I was quite impressed. We could have stepped it up a little bit. But to play as many young guys as you did against a team that wasn't terrible and have your way with them pretty much, I came away impressed. I'll tell you one thing I didn't like, though. I can't make a phone call without being a little negative. I'll tell you, I was sitting there watching the back end of the Baylor game, and after they pretty much dispatched with SMU, they brought in their backups, and they kept running their offense. And I couldn't help but watch Butch Jones do that, and I'm thinking that's a mistake that somebody needs to remind him about, is you're not doing your young guys any favors at all by playing them and just turn around and hand the ball off mode. Former did it forever, and you guys will have to admit it cost us games when we had, you know, every time we had to come across a new quarterback or, you know, when a senior quarterback graduated, we took a step back that we didn't necessarily have to because of lack of experience. And I want to get y'all's thoughts on that.
First of all, I'm gonna chime in here. I 1,000% agree with that. I believe, like Jimmy Johnson used to say, but I wouldn't go to the extreme he did where he's blocking punts on people at the end of games when you're up by 60 points. But I'll say this. If my backups read, if they practice hard for me, they play hard for me, when they get in games, I want them to play. I want them to be successful within reason. I'm not going to throw bombs on you, but I'm going to run my offense. I'm going to be respectful, but I'm going to try and score on you. Reed, I agree with this caller. I think you should run your offense tonight with Peterman out there. Give him some live action.
I couldn't agree more. And look, and we've talked about it before, Tony. That's a guy that's probably got to play some meaningful snaps for them this year. You saw the way that offensive line struggled to both run and pass protect at times against a really inexperienced Utah State defensive front. So I think that's someone you've got to use those snaps. You don't get many game day snaps. And when you've got them, you've got to be good stewards of those. And I thought the staff could have done that, too. I was kind of shocked they tried to just salt it away. And like you said, you can still be have class and do that. Still run your offense. You're not going to go spread it out five wide and throw it deep every time. Right. That's not your offense.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was I could have said even better myself, Reed. You don't have to go out there and show somebody up and run in their face, but you can definitely let your offense, let your backups run a little offense other than, you know, the belly dive. But, guys, I tell you what, watching a lot of football this weekend, is it me or every time Tennessee plays at home, I swear our field just looks terrible. And for them to jerk the high school kids off that field for a once-in-a-lifetime experience of the Jamboree, to not have any improvement in that field, I don't get it. It makes me want to just fire the field crew and go to that new turf they've developed. I don't know. I've never been a fan of it, but our field looks terrible. I remember back when we first went to grass, it looked great for years. And I don't know what, maybe the budget's not there.
No, it's different. They're spending more now on the field, and I appreciate the call. Thank you, Jamie. They're spending more now on the field than they ever have before, but the deal is they're reseeding it or redoing it, whatever the term is, 3, 4, 5 times a year now. Butch Jones wants that field green like that year-round because they're bringing recruits in year-round now, and that's what's changed. And so it's not as permanent as it once was. Used to, they would let that stuff go out of season, and then in the season bring it back, and it's lush and green, and now they're constantly stripping that field. That's the way it looks. That's the reason it looks the way it does.
They had to go back because I agree 100% with Jamie. I mean, it's... You
but
know, whatever,
he wants,
whatever you gain by having it look good in January for your recruits, you lose by having it look bad during the actual game.
But that's what he wants.
Everybody's watching.
But that's what he wants. He's going to call the shot. Reed, am I wrong on there? Tell me if I'm speaking out of turn, Reed.
No, I think you're right. And you've touched on it before, and it does. I mean, I'm down there on that grass. I brought some home with me, it looks like. A little wet, but it's not what it was. It's a little brown. It looks worn out, honestly. The field just looks a little bit worn out, and it shouldn't because it's not getting used at all, except for to, like you said, show off the recruits.
And that's the point. And the point is, they don't want anybody on it. Students don't get on it. Nobody's allowed on it. I mean, Christian, you walk on that field and you're not authorized, you get beat down.
That's true. I know that for a fact, actually. Some people tried to get on there a few weeks ago and
they
don't take that lightly.
Not like when I was in school. When I was in school, you could sneak on there and play frisbee, or of course it had artificial turf back then.
They have motion detectors under that thing.
Do they really?
What? Yeah. I'm dead serious, yeah.
They have motion detectors.
If anybody...
Intruder alert, please step off of the grass.
Even with the tarp on it, if anybody steps on that tarp, then there's UT police not far away.
865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. Here's the deal. I'm not going to lie to you. I've got a half hour to go, and I need you to help me get through this. As I've got Reed Carringer with me. He is... you can check him out at RockyTopInsider.com. I've got Russell Smith here from 94.3 FM. Dubsy, you're on from 3 to 6 every afternoon. How do you plead?
Guilty. I'll be there tomorrow working on Labor Day.
Brutal. You don't get Labor Day off?
I mean, I could, but I do it for the people, Tony.
I'm going to be working tomorrow.
I haven't taken Labor Day off in like 10 years.
It's technically today, gentlemen.
Ah, happy Labor Day.
Ah, thank you, Reed. Oh, you didn't weren't talking to me. Were you talking to me?
No, I wasn't. He's
talking
today.
To all of us.
We're working today. We're working right now. We're working later today.
Lundy, have you filed your report yet for my website?
Not yet, Tony. You know I have plenty of time.
What time will I get that?
I'd say before 4 a.m. is a good bet.
I like, Reed, I like the school kids. Hey, Nelson, line one's ringing. I like the school kids because the school kids never go to sleep.
That's right. They don't have the schedule that I would say us more established gentlemen have.
Interesting. Let's go back to our phones without further ado. 865-200-5402 if you want to get in. And